by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young. We need to take out the lefties.
Yep. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
What's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag guy?
That was such a humble brag.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Masters Week, baby. We are here. We got Frankie, John, myself. Guys, I mean, I can't even hold my excitement because of the press conference that we heard today. This is the second podcast, so we're going to jump probably right into Tiger Woods. But how the hell are you guys? Graphic?
Good. Yeah, it's been crazy how much just Masters coverage has already like gone down. Like, I mean, we had Monday was just insane. I felt like I was just dialed into live from. It was just Tiger Cam to start, and then that he goes on to play the front nine, just the nine holes for a practice round with JT and Freddie Couples, and it looks like Sunday, dude. It was like there were so many people there. But just to hear like the players comment about how just crazy this whole scene's been already, and here we are at Tuesday and he has the presser today. Yeah, it's just, what did he say? Thankful.
We already came up with a name for the podcast because we are too. We're thankful as well. Frank, you been able to watch any live from?
Yeah, I have. I've been tuned in pretty much. I would say I'm home this week from work, so it's just helped me. I can just sit here and like mess around on my phone all day and watch this stuff. I think it's like the most anticipated Masters of my life, maybe. The way it's leading up to this, like starting last week when we talked about him just flying his freaking jet around to get to Augusta, people following it, and now, I guess I was right. We waited today, huh? Like that.
We were actually, let's give you a round of applause too, because we were going to actually record Monday night because we were just excited and for editing purposes and stuff like that. But Frank was just like, you know, we should probably wait for that presser if any news comes up.
And I'm not going to give any, like, you know, we don't do ads on this show and about other podcasts, but I was listening to a podcast today and they recorded Monday night. And the whole podcast was released today, and it was not irrelevant, but a lot of it was about whether Tiger was going to play or not.
And I listened to that said podcast as well, and I had to turn it off because I was like, this is old news.
Yeah.
It's old news. So here we are, Lefty's Lounge, just being relevant AF. it just feels so, if Tiger doesn't play at this point, it's going to be I know that, but there's... The way he left it, it's still maybe, but there's no chance he's not playing. But before that,
no chance he's not going to try to play. Like
he's going to play. That's all there is to it. But for some reason, if it didn't, it'd be the most upsetting Masters I think in the world. Like, what would you even talk about? Like what does anybody talk about besides Tiger Woods right now? I was listening to Sirius pretty much all day. And they kind of screwed me over on the actual interview because it was late. Like I was getting a bunch of texts saying he's playing, and they went to break like a bunch of buffoons.
That was crazy.
It was so crazy. But like, what else is there to talk about?
The needle in golf, and they legit missed it to throw some ads up because their timing is off.
I was so upset too because I wanted to hear him say it, and I didn't get to because I found out already that he was coming. But goddamn, I lost my train of thought already. So what do we want to start with? I mean, do we just go into like everything Tiger, and then we're gonna do our picks and we're gonna talk about the course, maybe the changes that happened. What do we think about Tiger? I mean, let's go from there.
Well, I think we made our Tiger. We talked through our Tiger scenarios and situations last week,
let's talk about that. You guys said that he wasn't even going to play.
That's no, true. But as far as like, we all did talk about our expectations though, if he did play, right? Like what's like, right. we said, you know, what's a success?
Have those changed for you guys? Those expectations?
Yeah, like it's hard. So
yeah,
I have two sides of the coin here. My one side is that like, we've heard it from the very beginning. Since he started playing golf, like he's not going to play a tournament unless he thinks he can win, right? And he said that today, right? The guy asked him, "Do you think he win?" Of course, he's going to say yes.
It was a dumb.
It's a dumb question, but it's also a question that has to be asked. I think so.
Yes,
I get it. Does any part of you feel like that he's like just doing this as like a I can do anything and come back at any time. And whether I compete or not, like I am making the best comeback of all time. And like, I'm just like in the back of my mind, I'm like, it's crazy that he's playing in this tournament. It is absolutely insane that, you know, whatever it was 17 months ago, his leg was almost amputated and he's playing golf. Like a month ago, this wasn't even, I mean, 2 weeks ago, this wasn't a thought process, right? Like he wasn't playing. I don't know. Part of me is like, he's definitely like a little bit of a selfish guy, like let's admit it, right? Yeah. Like is there any part of it that's like he's like, yeah, I'm just gonna take over this tournament and like become the storyline, not even like consciously, it's just like in his DNA, right? Like he's like wants to make this comeback and he wants to be the center of attention, and here he is, the center of attention, the only thing that people are talking about leading into Masters Week.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to think that it's not that, because if he wins this Master, I feel like he thinks that he might be running out of Masters. And if he wins this Masters, he ties Jack for the most Masters wins. So maybe he's, you know, we talked about this last time that maybe he's thinking about not messing up. Like it's a limited field. Like you're not taking anybody's spot up. So even if he doesn't finish, it's not that big of a deal. He's not taking anybody's spot, but if he's got a chance, why not take that some bitch, you know?
Yeah. I think the reason that he is coming back is actually in part because it is the Masters. Like what more of a, you couldn't pick a more comfortable situation as far as like, they take care of him. Their website, the Masters website, incredible. Like he is literally, they had his own box today. It just said Tiger interview. Like, you know how it normally has categories? He's his own box.
Yeah.
Like and it's just a place where he's made 22 starts. He's never missed a cut. He, you know, it's all about shot creation there. It's all about like your hands. He hires that dude who makes Augusta his backyard, and he's been practicing on this green and the short game for 4 months now. And he goes there, and all you hear yesterday is it just perfect. Everything's just like perfect. It was almost like kind of weird in a sense. Like, are they just kissing his ass this hard? And everybody's just like to a T. He's flushing it. He's moving the ball at 170, 175, you know, ball speed. He's carrying 300 yards.
He's in the ball as far as JT. What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Like, how is that possible? Yeah.
It's to the point now where I'm already so far. You talk about, is your expectations changed? If he's making the cut, there's no way he doesn't make the cut. And so Ronnie, you're right. The short field, all the past champions, like this is, you know, half the field eliminates itself. They always say.
So right. I completely agree with you guys. Like it's the perfect storm for him to come back in. And that's real, right? Like everything you said, limited field, how successful he's been. But I think that's part of it, right? Like that's part of him saying like, I'm going to come back now and I'm going to do like, and it's going to be the Tiger comeback tour because it's the Masters, whether the Masters was now or in like 3 months, you know what I mean? Right. Like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So like whether he's like completely ready or not, in the back of my head, I'm like, is this like,
I
don't even know the right term for it. Like, is it just like no matter when the Masters, maybe if the Masters was a month ago, he would have still tried to play? Like, I guess all those things added up to like
it's just
him taking over once again, and you know, and try. I don't know. It's just it's a interesting timing. You know, everything come together.
It's a perfect time to start another chapter in his book or the movie or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just too perfect.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Like if he does happen to win, like,
oh my God,
imagine, right? Like
I can't even. No, like, I can't.
Well, don't get me wrong. There's also a chapter in this book where he is like barely finishing the nine, like he's barely finishing the back nine Friday, and we're like, damn, is it like that's definitely a possibility, right? Yeah. But
it better not happen. He needs to make the cut. He needs to play all four rounds.
Right.
I got a bet going with my boss.
Here's the thing. This is what I'm thinking is like, what's crazy is he is going to play. Well, I mean, you'd think now if he's playing in this tournament, if he's playing in the Masters and you look at the major schedule, you'd think he's playing in all four majors this year. Like, that's just crazy to think. I'll say it again. I can't, like, it's just weird, you know, I mean, like
the difference,
that's how far we're moving. The
difference
we are
between
from,
one
he's done.
Week, 1 week. We go crazy. From, yeah. We go from maybe a 50-50 shot from Frank, still less than 2% of a shot from you, to going, he's going to make the cut this week and he's going to play all four majors.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I highly doubt he plays in all four majors. That's like my, again, I just can't.
So here's the thing that makes me think that he is going to play a lot more than we think, because he went in the interview, he was asked if he could do more damage on his ankle. And like he said, it's only going to get better. He's not going to make it worse by playing. It's just going to take longer to get better, basically. So I feel like if he can manage the time frame and manage the pain, it's really up to him, because he's not going to do it any more harm, right? Like, it's not like he's out there playing basketball or doing some high intensity stuff. It's walking. So yes, it is very tough on this terrain and that kind of thing, but I don't know. I'm very optimistic about the rest of this year and him playing.
He looks insane, dude. Like the shape.
Does
that
he
he's
look?
In,
he looks that's big.
The first thing I thought was like to see his swing, and then to see him like physically. The first thing I thought was, man, how crazy must that rehab have been? Like, how crazy do you think he must have gone in the last month plus? You know, he might have been like, I mean, you know, you hear the stories of the Navy SEAL training and all that. Like, I mean, it's Tiger. Like, I couldn't imagine what his regimen looked like. Like, I would love to hear. I hope that comes out. I feel like at any point in his career, you know, you would never even think of like some sort of content along that lines of like what he's done in the past, you know, month or so to come out. But now I feel like if there was ever a chance, it's now, and it would be crazy.
Yeah. You know how like, okay, so just I'm thinking you're just saying how you hope that content comes out. And the whole Netflix docuseries about the PGA Tour and all those guys in it, like just like the Jordan documentary, and how they were always filming like everywhere, right? They're always cameras, which is such a weird thing they don't think about, right? Like they're always have cameras in front of them. One day there's gonna be something like ridiculously good with Tiger with that, right? Like with this rehab, like where you just like look back and we're like, holy shit, this guy was a absolute nutcase.
It's the only explanation.
And I know they have like, you know, they have documentaries on Tiger already, but like there's gonna be one day where it's gonna be like
it's like actually Jordan, gonna be a good one. Yeah.
The Jordan, yeah, exactly. The Jordan-esque, like why am I blanking on the name of that documentary right now? What's that documentary called?
Last Dance.
Last Dance, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, no, there's gonna be
one day.
Should, god damn, so crazy.
All right. Well, we've talked about how crazy this is. To back it up, the betting market right now, Vegas, Tiger is being bet. He's 15% of all wagers. Like just him being involved in bets, he's 15% of all bets for the Masters.
Just golf, okay.
No, like of bets that have come in on the Masters.
I got you. Like I thought you meant like overall like bets. I'm like,
I'm actually surprised not more.
Well, he's twice as much as the next player, who was JT, and he's three times as much as the third, who is Scottie Scheffler, as far as being wagered on. So he's still that far. I mean, it's just crazy. He's
if you were betting on him, what would you even take?
I'd take a top 20.
Yeah.
I think the value would be there. Actually, I don't think there's any value in betting on him right now. Like, Vegas has got to be completely licking their chops.
You had to get this while ago to get some value.
Yeah,
for sure. All right. Well, let's move away from Tiger a little bit. I know the hype for him is real, but how about just for the Masters in general? Like, do you think that Tiger's the only reason that this is so amped up, or is it like this? I feel like it feels normal again, like in the world. Like, I feel like, you know, we haven't had like a real Masters, limited patrons last year. 2020 was crap in November. Like, it just sucked. It just feels normal again. It's good to see the fans out there, or excuse me, the patrons. But like,
shape up, boy.
Yeah. Do you think without Tiger, it's still like, if he didn't, even if we didn't think he was going to be in there, do you think it would be just as good?
Yeah,
I think. Yeah. I think so too,
dude. The field like, is insane.
Yeah, obviously, like, you can't compare like the Tiger.
It's the Masters too. You know, exactly. Like, this is just this is all gravy. Like, the Tiger storyline is so cool in the sense of, like, I mean, you see, it's just different when he's around there, right? And you hope that kind of elevates the play of all other guys. Like, I'm, you know, looking at JT specifically, like, did you see the Rahm quote this week? Or I should say today, about somebody asked him if, like, Tiger would give him any, like, info or tidbits about Augusta or anything. And he's like, he only, like, talks to JT, and he, like, he did this, like, you know, whatever. He tells JT everything type thing. Like, they have a very, like, interesting relationship, and I don't know. Does it raise the play of the other guys? I know, it's kind of weird. It's like, you know, it's just another major for these guys, but man, Tiger's different. He is, you know, even the way guys talk about it, it's going to sound different on that, you know, on the course on Thursday and Friday when he's out there. It's crazy. And how do, you know, is Rory going to go out and throw another stinker on a Thursday? Or, you know,
there's a lot of storylines out there, but that right? John Rahm thing was hilarious. I watched that. I listened to most of them, and the Rahm thing was just hilarious. Yeah. You know, they asked him, oh, what'd they say? Like, did Tiger give you any tips or anything? And like you said, he said,
does he share any info? Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't share any info. The guy you got to talk about that is Justin Thomas. You know, he's given him like a dissertation after he said, he asked him about like the feel or something, or like the grass. And he goes, oh, it's all about feel. And then I turn around and he's given a dissertation to Justin Thomas. Like, that just goes to show you their relationship too. And like, let's get into Justin Thomas a little bit. He's the most bet on guy besides Tiger, like probably the odds on favorite. Do we think he can do it?
Rahm's the odds on favorite.
Okay. Yeah. Well, JT's second though. And right, I think JT's 14-1.
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He always is. Like, he's always like right there to be one of the top favorites. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like we have this conversation a lot with a lot of guys. Like, you know, they haven't won lately, or, you know, like, they haven't,
I don't know. There's something about JT and majors that just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, he can't close. I know he's got the PGA, but other than that, I can't,
I don't know,
really,
if it's close.
It's not even close. It's just that he's never around.
Yeah. I feel like he's never, like, well, I don't want to say never, you know, I feel like he's always there, but never, you know, in the last pairing on Sunday, or
never within reach, really.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always like, and he'll finish in a top, he'll sneak into like a top five or top 10 or whatever. Yeah. Listen, I think he's, you know, he's, obviously one of the best players in the world, but he's like one of the best players in the world that doesn't have as many majors as you think he should. Like,
which there's a ton of guys like that
for sure. But I think he's maybe the best of them that doesn't have, like,
oh, for sure.
You think like JT at this point would have kind of three or four majors, which I know not a lot of people in history have three or four majors, but he just seems to be on that level and he just hasn't done it. I would love to throw money on JT, but I have the same feeling as you, Ronnie.
What like, is he just, missing though? Like he's a great iron player. He's a great putter. He drives the ball, hits the piss out of the ball. Like, what do you, I personally think that it could be some sort of mental issue. Like just not being able to have that. Maybe he plays too safe. I don't know what it is with JT. I really don't. Graphic, you got anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. I can't put like a, you know, an exact answer to what it is. I don't know exactly what it is, but it seems like just weekends that majors come around is, you know, he's not on, right? Like that's, it's always like, yeah, I don't know. He hasn't had a great, he hasn't had great Masters finishes. He hasn't really played well there. I will say he is playing the best golf of his, you know, of the last, you know, two or three years, at least coming into this tournament. Yeah. In 2022, he's gaining 1.95 strokes per round. The list of the last five champions, the strokes gained leading going into the Masters, Hideki was 0.8, DJ was 1.82, Tiger was 1.65, Reed 1.17, and Sergio 1.26. So he's playing at a level like right now, his game this year is at a level where he should compete. It's just like, I don't know. It's weird to think, you know, we know how talented he is, but it's weird to not be like, you know, expecting him to be like, I don't expect him to be, it would surprise me if he was in the top five, but it also wouldn't surprise me if he won. So it's like, it's that weird, you know,
right. Super position. There's something different about it. But the big thing about him is, I mean, did you see his interview too? He was asked a question about, Tiger giving him secrets and if he'd like to share. And he was just like, honestly, no, I wouldn't feel comfortable sharing that information just because I don't want the other guys to know. So he's getting tips from Tiger, which is pretty big.
He's got bones
is going to be a big factor. I really think that might be able to push him over the edge.
Yeah, I mean, like, just these finishes in the majors the last, like, 2 years here. And this kind of sums it up, I think, right? Like, all right, Open Championship, T40, U.S. Open, T19, Masters, T21, Masters in 2020, he was fourth, and then the U.S. Open, T8. Like, it's just very, like, yeah, he's, like, played well. You can't, yeah. But, like...
Not really well though. I mean, the T4.
That's what I mean. Like they, right. I mean,
not well enough for us to remember exactly, any of his like, majors. That's
20th right. Is yeah, like 20th is great, right? Like I mean, that's a
it good is,
finish, but like
yeah.
It, not for Justin Thomas, right? I mean,
exactly.
It's all about expectations, and expectation for Justin Thomas every week is like to win. So, it's a tough one. I would say like a guy who I don't have any expectations for is Rory. Like I just have zero expectations for Rory McIlroy. I mean, he's played terrible. Maybe he sneaked like
he'll have a horrible round on Thursday.
Exactly.
Backdoor top 10 on Sunday.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so here's the thing. Do you think because Tiger is here, it takes a little pressure off these guys like the JTs and John Rahm and Brooks and all these guys, like they're not getting the same amount of attention. And I mean, I haven't heard one iota about Rory's finishing the Grand Slam. Like I haven't heard about will Rahm finally win. Like I haven't heard any of this. So do you think that really like makes a difference? And maybe Rory could do it because there's not as much pressure. You think it's got to make a difference, right?
He when you asked about like the mental aspect, I think that's, I forget you were saying with JT maybe, but that's what I think about with Rory. I don't know. Like, I just feel like he's a little off right now. He's, I don't know. He had some questionable, he had a questionable interview, just the way he was talking in his interview today. But yeah, I don't know.
He was kind of like, he didn't even care. Like,
yeah. And he made the points of like how he has to play, but like, he was almost like, gawking at the way he was talking about playing like boring golf, like just hitting, like having to hit to different parts of the course, and like, you know, being smart. Like he was saying like how it's not really his style, and like it was just, I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah, the weird thing that I heard about him, and it was the complete opposite with Scottie Scheffler, is that Rory was basically counting and saying, you know, I still have 18 more years or something. So that's 18 major or 18 masters, all this stuff. And Scottie Scheffler is the complete opposite, saying that he's going to play like this is his last major championship, because he doesn't know how many he's going to play in. So like just those different mindsets right there could maybe tell you a little bit about Rory, you know, and Scheffler for that reason. Like he's going to take risks and do all that stuff, and Rory might play a little conservative and get his top 10 and be okay with that. Like he sounded to me like he would be okay with not getting the Grand Slam today. That's what he sounded like in his interview. He's just like, you know, I have my kid. Golf is kind of not important to me. It's great to be here. And yes, I respect the Masters and all that stuff, but is what it is basically what I got from Rory. So expectations for him, I have none for Rory.
No. Yeah. I mean, I've heard that does everyone have less pressure because Tiger's their thing? I don't know. I'm trying to put myself in that situation, which is impossible. I think I would still like have pressure on myself or feel it from whoever, like just because there's more people there. Like there's, oh, like they've been in this situation before. Like they've had Tiger around. It's not like Tiger, you know, just showed up yesterday for the first time. Like they've played with Tiger before. They've played with all these people around. They've played with or without that pressure. I don't know. I don't think it really matters to them. I think it's, they put pressure on themselves to win. And at the same time, they're still getting asked the same questions. Like Rory's still being asked about it. He's still being asked about the Grand Slam and all that stuff. So I kind of think that's just like a talking point. Like, oh,
I was just going
to
say
make it easier for Rom to win. No, it doesn't make it any easier for Rom to win.
Yeah.
He still has
got to beat Tiger.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And the rest of the field. Like it's like, you know, so I don't buy that storyline.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. Really. It is. I mean, it is what it is. I feel bad for Neiman and Oosthuizen Thursday and Friday. That's for sure. Anybody playing with Tiger, I feel bad for, kind of, because that's a different animal, man.
Got to embrace it, baby.
Let's go. Those guys would love it. Yeah. Yeah. I just think he's going to bring, there's just going to be a different energy around that place. And that place is just going to be buzzing. And I think everybody's going to feel it, whether it's good or bad or how the players interpret it. I think that honestly might be part of the storyline too. I think we might see some dudes shit themselves, and I think we might see some, you know, some dudes kind of ball out. Like it would be crazy. Like, I don't know, just thinking, we were talking about Justin Thomas, but a wire to wire win, like for anybody, for any one of those top guys. And that's one of the more interesting things I've found out about the Masters recently was, so 8 out of the last 10 winners have been in the top 20 of the world. And since 2010, all of them have been within the top 30 players in the world at that time. So it's like, it really is a small group of guys. I know we talk about it being a shorter field and the cut line being 50. You have the past champions, you have the amateurs and everything, and Augusta itself. But like, it's cool. That's why I think one of the draws of the Masters is, you know, you do these pools and you bet on it and you get more of the casual fans. But it's like, it really does feel like it's one of those top 20 guys is going to probably win this tournament. And it's just crazy to think, like, I don't know, you know, we get 4 days at Augusta with the top 20 guys in the world. And we're going to see who plays the best this weekend. It's exciting. Thankful.
my best bet is that Louis Oosthuizen is playing with Tiger is going to shit the bed on Thursday, because that guy can't handle pressure worth a dime, man. Come on.
Oh boy.
If somebody tells him he's second.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was funny though. Somebody showed a picture of posted a picture of Joachim Niemann's follow through and how crazy like he contorts his body, and somebody said Tiger watching this is gonna give him back spasms watching Niemann hit a golf ball. Just is hilarious.
That's
great. I'm just so pumped to see Tiger's like just his like straight emotion in that first round. Like, what is it going to be like? Is it going to be that like death stare? Like, you know, everyone knows what that look is. Or is it going to be like the, I don't know, like the kind of jolly go lucky Tiger that we've seen like lately. I mean, my hunch is that it's going to be the death stare, like I'm going to kill you attitude.
Yeah. Which
makes sense. But I feel like we've seen so much of that like happy Tiger lately that it's going to be interesting. I'm just pumped to see him out there and walking the course with the freaking laser eyes walking down the fairway. Like it's going to be electric.
Let me tell you something, Frank. If he comes out and makes a single birdie on the first three or four holes and is even or one under through four, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong. He's going to have such a look to him. There's no way he's not like he just I feel
he might
like
come out wearing red. If he's all got 4 days.
It. Yo.
Yo, it's so true though. If he like birdies one or something, like
if he gets off to a start, like yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy.
So funny.
We have that to talk about too. We need to we have a lot of apparel to talk about, and Nike specifically. Nike is on the hot seat right now. Serious hot seat.
Yeah. I mean, let's get into it.
Well, with Tiger alone, obviously this has been a kind of, you know, part of the storyline is he comes out wearing FootJoys, which he
has hilarious.
An obvious Nike deal, but I'm so happy this happened because this finally justifies me making the switch from Nike golf shoes forever, because if that dude won't wear them, I can't be wearing them. they make a trash. It's not like they don't make like a comfortable shoe. Even they're not, I mean, even like the high ascent shoe, I can't say I've worn the high ascent shoes, all of them, but I don't know. They've always kind of seemed trash, and he's playing in the FootJoys now, which are widely known as the more comfortable shoe in golf. So
it's at the most important time
for FootJoy.
That's what I'm saying. It's literally the most important time of Tiger Woods' life walking wise. And he chose FootJoy instead of Nike, who is a shoe company. Like
athletes who do more than walking,
who has been with Tiger Woods since day one. Like,
yeah.
What is Nike even doing right now? Like they're melting.
Rambling.
Down. Yeah. They're literally melting.
And get this. They're the only brand to not put a template out for the four shirts. We still don't know what these guys are wearing, which I'm dying to see because remember how much
trash. Yeah.
It's going to be so bad. I honestly think happened. I think that the pairings came out today and like we have Brooks and Rory playing in that last group. I think they have too many Nike guys where they don't have enough color combinations for their shit that they're going to put out.
They're all going to be wearing
the same thing. And they're fucked right now. That's why they didn't release the template, because they don't have enough shirts. So they got to make these. I mean, we could see colors we've never seen before.
Oh. Yeah. This is going to be amazing.
What if it's tie dye just to make different colors? Like one Nike's of ones. At that level.
One of right ones.
One of fucking ones.
All right. So do you know anything else about apparel you got, or is Nike just on the hot seat?
Oh, they're just on an insanely hot seat. One of the hottest seats ever. Because
it's been horrible.
But think of this, it's been bad, and we're actually seeing this in, if you look at like money spent, more money was spent in golf last year, just golf everything, than any other time. We are in like the biggest boom for golf as an industry itself, and like Nike just looks like it's taken a back seat, and nobody's really like, I don't know, there's not.
They should just get out of it. They should get out of the business.
Well, they tried. They got out of it.
They tried, but they like,
I mean, they're halfway out.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you know, shit or get off the pot. Like either go all in, right? And
I mean,
and be like, you're the number one. We basically said we weren't going to talk about apparel anymore, but here we are.
I know.
but like, they're the number one like athletic company, you know, apparel wise, you know, in the world, and they choose to basically be out on golf, but
that's the thing, like,
but they still have their toes in the water and want to be there because for obvious reasons, right? Like you have Tiger Woods. I mean, like they have significant players and they choose to just fuck it up every year. Like
they're saying you're spending a lot of money.
Terrible. Like they, like, so I mean, we joked about it the last 2 years. Like you see like Jason Day wearing like the camo one on Friday and
then you see Tommy Fleetwood and
wearing it on Sunday. Like, and you're like, what? Yeah. Like, that's embarrassing that you can't come up with enough color combinations and designs.
They should be able to tailor it to the guys.
They don't need to be complicated. This is what I want. Like,
no, it's miserable.
There's a lot of color combinations, and we're just like plain navy shirt with a Nike sign. Like, what are we doing here? Like,
it's miserable.
It's crazy.
It's absolutely miserable. All right, let's do a couple more storylines. I know Graphic wants to talk about Spieth.
Shouldn't you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we could talk about him a little bit and then anything else we want to, but we'll get into picks, probably get most of the people. I mean, there's so many people that could win this damn golf tournament that we'll hit a lot of them with our winners, the top 10, top 20 pick, and their dark horse. So what do you want to say about Spieth? I've heard some mixed emotions from Brandel and a couple other guys.
No, my question is just, where are you at with Spieth? Where are you at with, this is his tournament, right?
Yeah. This is his
chance.
I don't know about chance. I don't know what you're talking about. Chance.
This is his only chance
at a major this year.
Yeah. No, I just want to know where you're at. What are your expectations for him this weekend?
To win. Like,
yeah,
he plays this tournament so well that it's, you know, and I was going to say this about JT too, like certain guys have certain tournaments that they just, no matter what, they play well in. JT doesn't really have one of those that I can really recall off the top of my head. But when you look at it, like Jordan Spieth is just, he's so good at the Masters, and it's partly because of his scrambling and his putting. Like those are the two things that he's really good at. We know he's not an accurate driver. We know that for sure.
Confirmed.
It does kind of play to his ball flight, a lot of the shots that are needed off the tee. So I know he's comfortable with that. He needs to putt well though. Like that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
If he putts well, guaranteed top five. Like that's all there is to it. That's where I'm at. He's coming off a pretty cool 67 from the Valero on Sunday.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah. Making the cut.
Barely making the cut, but he, you know,
but he had a good Sunday. Momentum is what the people were calling it.
He had a good Sunday. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, you,
no, I think we've, think. I think we've covered it on Spieth.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Oh my god,
that story,
such an asshole, just, you just forced me into talking about him and then that's, you just, it, get out of here.
That's it.
Another guy on the radar though is gotta be John Rahm. He's the past 4 years he's been in the top 10 sniffing. He is now a major winner. This is the first time that he's come into the Masters as a major winner, world number one, pretty high confidence. I know he's not world number one anymore, but he's accomplished a lot since the last Masters. So what do you think about him?
I mean, I think him like anybody else. I don't know. Like
Frank does the shoulder shrug. Ah, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it's just tough. All these guys are just like in the same group, right? Like
yeah,
it's hard for me to like distinguish between whether I think John Rahm or Jordan Spieth can have
it's your top 20.
Yeah, and it's like just a feeling you have going into the week. You know, listen, it'd be stupid for me to say that John Rahm, like, he's 10-1. He's the odds-on favorite to win it. And yeah, I mean, I know Scott is number one in the world, but John Rahm, I think, probably still is considered the best player in the world right now. So, yeah, I mean, he has just as good a chance as anyone to win it, and better than, you know, if you're asking me if I think he's gonna be in it on Sunday, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the final. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the final two groups. Like that would be my, if I was a betting man, I think he's right there.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm most excited to see Rahm because, you know, more so just the situation that he's in, right? It's like Scotty makes this leap. He's now number one player in the world. Rahm was, you know, widely considered the best player in the world. He was riding this wave, and now he's got I wouldn't say doubt or anything, you know, but he slipped up a little bit. He hasn't played the best golf, and he's been fiery as of late. I don't know if you've kind of seen that, but he's started to, like, you know, you see it on the course with him, and he's had a couple moments these last couple months of where things weren't going completely his way, where he likes to pop off.
I just think
that this is, you know, he knows his way around Augusta, but if you think of any ballpark, you know, in golf, this is the place where it's like, it's just going to do things. You're going to catch wind. This course is going to do things that it's going to really tick you off. And I'm excited to see with him, with just that, like I said, the energy of that place, like he's going to be such a character to watch this week if he's rolling, you know.
It's funny even you if he's say not, that. It's funny you say that, because did you see I don't know if it was a meme or something, but John Rahm's picture on the Masters website is him like being pissed off with a putter in his hand.
Yeah, like, it almost looks like
he's taking a full swing, but and it looks like a backswing until you look at it and it's actually his putter.
It's an odyssey about to go in Rays Creek.
Yeah, pretty funny that you've said that. But yeah, there's just a million guys that could win. I mean, we haven't talked about Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay. Like, there's a million guys that could win this tournament. What about Patrick Reed? I mean, past champion, where's he been? He's dead.
It's just, that's what I love about the Masters, right? Of course, we're going to see Patrick Reed on Thursday and Friday getting up and down from anywhere and you know, think that he has a chance maybe going into Saturday, or he's going to blow up and everybody's going to be excited to see Patrick Reed play like shit.
Exactly.
He just can't hit the ball far anymore. He's soft. Right. Here's a story.
Patrick Reed. Wow.
Go ahead. Here's a storyline. Go ahead.
Well, you're talking about storylines. Yeah. What about Hideki Matsuyama?
I just had my hands up and I'm just like, yo, what about the past champion?
I can't believe we haven't even brought him up. And you saw the dinner menu, right?
Oh,
I did. I was just looking at the pictures of it from tonight.
Your boy Spieffed all over himself when somebody read the dinner.
Little Wagyu, and he goes off, dude.
The greatest beef around, he said.
He said it. He said, I'm going to piss off some Texans, but
I'm pretty sure he said, beef. I'm going to have to be carted out of
that's
the dinner.
Good for him, dude. Good for him. He must love sushi, too. Like, that's crazy. This is a good menu, but It's a shame that Hideki is not feeling his best. That's for sure.
Yeah, his neck. We got a neck issue. We're Team Hideki over here. We got a neck issue. Yeah,
I know your team.
I called his win last year. But
yeah, if nobody knew, which I think anybody that listens to this damn podcast has to know that you picked that. Because you drop it in anytime.
So we know. Okay.
The one time that you picked a winner.
Well, maybe that's a good segue into our picks. Why don't we do that?
I think it's a great segue.
Well, I have one more thing real quick. Sorry.
Oh, great.
Storyline?
Yeah, ruin that perfect segue.
Sorry. Yeah. We very rarely have good segues.
Good luck following that.
That was perfect. I had to ruin the one good one we had.
Yeah. You better not bring up Ricky Fowler either, you fuck.
No.
too soon.
So I was reading an article about, and I just remembered, about how, like, the Masters sends out invitations. Have you guys seen this? Like, to basically they stopped doing it, I think, during the pandemic, and so the last 2 years it wasn't done, but it returned this year. And like, basically you get an invitation in the mail if you're invited to the Masters, like as a player, right? So it's like it comes in the freaking mail. Like, how fucking cool is that, by the way?
Wait,
like,
they didn't do that the last 2 years?
I was reading that they stopped doing it because of the pandemic, but they...
Oh my gosh, because that was like the coolest, like, I was framed.
Like, you know, when you get like a... Well, I get, they were saying, I have it up actually right now. I think they're saying someone has kept it. Oh, Ben Crenshaw has kept each each one for the last whatever 50 years or whatever.
72 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's wild. But like, you know how excited you get like when you get something in the mail? Like being like a first timer, or like maybe it's the, you know, the amateurs who get to play or whatever, or the, and they get the invite in the mail, and you're like, holy shit, like
it's gotta be the best.
Yeah.
I wonder if I bet JJ Spawn's gonna get his like next week.
Yeah,
think about that.
Yeah.
I wonder if they just gave it to him when he, get, they, when he got there. Yeah,
they
there.
Probably did.
Here, man. Here's your invitation.
Wait, before we get into our picks, did you do some fun facts? I know you asked me earlier today for some Masters fun facts. Did you find any?
Not that we can talk about on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to DM us on the at the Lefties Lounge, I'll tell you about them, but I can't say it here. So let's get into picks. Yeah.
Let's do it.
So what we're going to do, we'll go from dark horse to winner, right?
Sure. Do it like that.
We're going to do a winner, a top 10 lock.
But let me, can we do this?
Lock.
What? Can we do that the dark horse has to be outside of the top 20? Obviously.
Yeah. We'll call that official world golf.
Yeah, we'll just do it off that. That's easiest.
Yeah. Well, you got one of you guys just might to have Google. To go first.
Dark horse to winnies,
or should we?
No,
14th in the world.
Or
should we do 30?
Colin Morikawa, because we haven't talked about it. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Over the top 20 is fine with me.
Or 30.
Don't do 30, because then that's okay. We're close.
Patrick Reed's 31.
Oh man. I could do 30 too. Whatever you want to do, you just let me know.
Let's do 30.
Okay.
I'll go first.
Okay,
I'm taking the Irishman, Shane Lowry.
That's so funny
you said that. Yeah.
Okay, why?
I just feel like he always plays well at Augusta. Like he's, and I just think his game fits Augusta. I think he likes to be creative.
He's kind of due after that. What tournament was that where he was caught in the rain and he was right there? Him and Daniel Berger were right there.
Wasn't which the one players, it was it?
No, it was a week before the players, I believe.
Yeah. Whatever
that was one of those, but he's due. Good dude to win the Masters, too. I feel like he would be.
Yeah, he's a fun man.
He's hard not
animated.
To
yeah, since yeah, and from the Ryder Cups too, I've always like enjoyed kind of watching him play. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I like him. I like him.
All right, my it's hard to say. So he's a long shot for sure, but
tell me he's another Irishman.
No,
you're gonna go with your boy Seamus,
dude. It's so funny you just said that. I was just looking at the one golf rankings, and I was gonna say him just to say it.
I hope it's not Fleetwood.
No. I love Tommy too. No, Bubba Watson.
Ooh, nice one.
Very nice.
I mean, it's tough to call him a long shot because he's won it twice, but like he is a long shot. Like, I mean,
and
he plays so well there.
Like, yeah, but he's number 68th in the world.
Honestly, he didn't play that well in the WGC, but the week before the WGC or the time he played before the WGC, I feel like he was actually playing well.
Played well a couple times.
The players, he was up there on Saturday. I know that.
Yeah.
And to my point, the Masters is just one of his tournaments that he's really, really good at. Like he's always around there. So I like that pick a lot, Frank. Good for you, man.
Thanks.
Yeah. I have this was an easy pick. Max Homa. I feel like he might be able to do it. If he gets that putter.
People would be so pumped if Max Homa won. He's such a.
I don't think he's made a cut there.
Come on.
I don't think he's played well there either.
Nice.
Yeah. Well,
whatever. I didn't do much research. I had my dog.
I mean, it's long shot.
My dark horse before that, and I was going to go into this whole betting thing, was Sung J.M. until you moved it outside of the 30th.
Oh, yeah. That would have been cheating. He's a killer. Well,
yeah. But he's definitely a dark horse.
Oh, no. He's a favorite.
Oh, my gosh. But anyways, I still have $26 riding on him to win outright from that bet.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I told it on the podcast.
Yeah, you accidentally did it.
I accidentally put $26 on Sung J M to win the Sony Open back in January or February. And it was actually for the Masters. So I've just been riding this bet for months. And if he wins, I think I get like $1,200. Something like
what
that.
What kind of form is Sungjae in? How dialed in are you on Sungjae?
Isn't he supposed to
be like serving in South Korea?
This is last year, I think. I think he gets to finish this year out and then he has to go and do that. But yeah, he isn't playing that well. So.
No, he's not.
Yeah. I just looked up like his last five tournaments.
And yeah, it's not
he's
good.
Just
it's
absolute not good. Trash. So
yeah, you could throw that bet out.
Yeah, it would be just a. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of relief when it's gone, though, because like there's just.
It'd been be nice
so
to
much...
see that ticket gone.
Exactly. I'm sick of looking at it. But yeah, I'm a huge Sungjae M guy. Right? This week, it probably goes Sungjae and then Jordan this week. So. I'll go next with the top 20. I had two guys flopped between top 10 and top 20, but I'm going with Sam Burns for a lock of a top 20. His form has just been great. He won a couple weeks ago. And I just think he has the demeanor to do well in the Masters. And honestly, I could see him in the top 10 too. So, but a top 20 lock, Sam Burns, easy pick.
Easy pick. We're going snake here. I'll go next.
I think that's where we're going.
Well, I'm going Tony Finau, lock top.
Ooh, he's been stinky.
Yeah, but you know,
it's the Masters.
He plays well at the Masters, as long as he doesn't roll his ankle tomorrow.
I was just gonna say, what's the over under on his high tops? Will he be wearing those again?
FootJoy high tops.
FootJoy high tops.
He's wearing those trash Nikes.
Imagine if everybody that wore Nikes just went to FootJoy's this weekend.
Wouldn't you? Since Tiger is, I'd be like, yep, get these things off.
Yeah. I've had FootJoy's.
Who hasn't? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I have a pair that I'm probably going to wear in the slop that we're playing in this weekend. So. What do you got, Graf? Top 20.
Top 20. I'm going Matt Fitzpatrick. He's been playing well. I think that's just a safe pick. I don't really have much more on it.
What do you think about his pairing?
Who's his group again?
It's Brooks, Rory, and
oh my god, yeah, it's literally the last pairing off. Yeah, that's I'm most excited for that. I think we haven't talked about it, but the whole Brooks angle to all this, I am he's gonna come up later for me.
Done oh that, my though. God, dude. Hopefully not for me too. The last one.
Why?
Wait, okay, hold on.
Are we all
hold on a second.
Yeah, okay.
Right now, first off, we should have
top ten. Forget top ten. Who do you guys have as your
all right? Let's say it all at the same time. Ready? One, two, three, Brooks.
Oh, this is not
good. Did we just
good.
Become best friends?
This is not good.
So
yo, bizarre. That's bizarre.
Crazy. I would have never thought. We didn't even talk about him during the podcast.
And we didn't even talk about, none of us talked about our picks. None of us knew that we all had Brooks.
Yeah.
Yo, that is incredible.
We should put some money as a group on Brooks, man.
Oh, I'm so down. We should. I'll Venmo you guys something. Just put it up.
Yeah, we have to. We'll do 500.
Like that, I'm down.
I know.
So what's that time? No, we've got to make it divisible.
His odds
three.
Are he's plus 1900. So it's
let's just do a cool $600, 200 a man on Brooks to go outright winner.
What would that cash? Yeah, we need to. Well, why don't we take this off air?
We'll take this off air because, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. But god damn, that kind of ruins everything.
It's also great, too. It's a great.
I mean, it is really good. So why do we think Brooks is going to win, though? I think my main point is that he's healthy and he's just, I feel like he's been like a silent assassin in the past few tournaments. He's just kind of lurking in the grass and he's just been waiting for the major. This is probably the longest time he's had to wait for a major in a while. And he's the man.
So
what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's played well lately. To your point, Ronnie, he's just like, it seems like he's been just around and playing good, steady golf. Healthy is another huge thing. Mm-hmm. I think this could be a Brooks Koepka year. Very not talked about, like just very quiet, which is unlike Brooks coming off of last year where we couldn't stop talking about him and Bryson. For whatever reason, when I looked down that list, I was like, man, Brooks, he's such a killer in majors. And he's playing well, which is a huge thing. I know we kind of just like throw that out the window for some of our picks, but he has played well. So yeah. And his matchup, man, I think he plays better when he plays with good guys. Like I think Rory and Fitzpatrick.
Well, yeah, I think so too.
Is like, you know, he's got that killer instinct, man. And it's hard to pick against him.
Yeah, I totally agree. He really is. He just kind of feels like he's found that groove, and it's not fair in terms of how, you know, he was hurt last year, but to your point, Frank, you're right. He was very much like, he was very outspoken. This was his, you know, it almost felt like it was like a true correlation with the PIP. Like he was really trying to be out there. Like he was out there a lot. And I say it's not fair in the terms of like, he was hurt and that was the reason he really wasn't playing well. And he didn't play well. Like that's fair, but it's like that he was getting killed for being kind of online while also not being like as dominant as he was, partly because, you know, he was coming back from that injury. He tried to come back so fast, like all that. And now I feel like he's had time to heal. He looks healthy. He's been playing well. He is, you know, kind of riding under the radar. And now it seems like, you know, he does the hair thing, but he really does seems like he's kind of comfortable. And that's the scariest, is when you got a guy like him who's comfortable. And I'll read my favorite stat to read every majors, and I will continue to read this as long as it is applicable.
Oh. Ooh,
good fit there. best score to par in majors since 2016. Brooks is now at 92 under. You know who the next closest player is?
Austin Johnson.
Yes. Guess what number he's at?
40 something.
Brooks is 92 under.
I'm saying, well, DJ, I would say 36.
28 under.
That's the next best player. I was going to say in the 20s, but I was like, that's too low.
Yeah, he's the best major player in the last. It's
insane.
Next 7 years.
I say it every time, but it blows my mind every time I see that stat.
That's so nuts.
So outside of last year, too, like, so he was cut last year at the Masters.
Yeah, that was when he was hurt.
Right. T7, T2, T11, T21, T33. So, like, he plays well. I mean, it's not like
the Masters hasn't really ever been his thing, but
he's going to make it his thing.
He could. I think that this, we're going to cash.
Remember last time he played his best. Who won that? That was in 19 when Tiger won it.
Yeah.
And he had a shot, I felt like.
Oh yeah. He was right there.
That putt. Yeah. Yep. I think he missed the putt on 18.
It was him, Tiger, and there was like three or four guys up there that year.
Yeah.
Anybody could have won that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
That is really funny. Do we even bother with the top 10?
No.
No, I don't either. I think everybody knows.
I didn't really have one anyway. So
yeah
me either.
Everybody knows who I was going to pick for top 10. I guarantee it. Every Masters.
I want to bring one more thing up as a storyline we've not talked about, which we've done pretty good, but I just feel like it has to be brought up.
Oh God.
Bryson. And I want to bring Bryson up for this because listen, you're going to appreciate this.
Okay.
I never want anybody to forget his par 67 comment.
Yes.
That the course was a par 67.
Oh my God.
I think that needs to be brought up every time. And he is not playing good golf right now.
Like, I wish somebody in the media asked him today, do you still think that Augusta's a par 67?
Oh my
like,
God.
What do you think he would say?
Oh, he would back him. He'd back it up. Yeah.
I listened to like the first 45 seconds of his interview and it completely irked me. Somebody asked him about how, I think it was like Taylor Zarzer, the big guy on Sirius XM, and asked him, he's just like, you know, normally when I see people, I ask them how they're doing, but like, I'm just genuinely like curious, how are you doing? And he talked about his hand and his wrist or whatever. And then he's just like, I just, you know, I'm working hard to get to back to like 2018 when I was hitting the golf ball the best I've ever done and won most tournaments I ever have in my life. And like, I listened to that and I was just like, dude, you are an asshole and I don't like you. And I turned it off. I think that was the first time I turned it off all day. Like, he's just, I don't like him. And I'm glad you brought the 67 up, and I hope he misses the cut, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be in contention. Yeah, I don't see him either.
No. I don't. He's hurt. He said his wrist is like 80% or something, or his hand or whatever the fuck's wrong with him.
Yeah. Does he have back problems too now or something too? Nah, isn't there?
He's irrelevant to me. Yeah, that's all I got though. I'm sure we're going to have plenty more Tiger stuff when this is all over, but we'll leave him on the 19th.
Cam, one other thing, Cam Smith, he has the chance to be the only other player besides Tiger Woods to win the Players and the Masters in the same year.
Oh, wow.
Be pretty sick.
That would be pretty sick. Cam Smith, another guy that we didn't talk about. There's just a million guys.
He was my second pick. That was who I was juggling between to win it. It was Cam and him and Brooks. But
I can't believe nobody picked Louis Oosthuizen. This could be his year.
No, well, we didn't do seconds.
Yeah. True. All right. That's a good one.